Welcome, everybody, to Belt Kings Radio Presents Champions. People, this is a show. This is a movement brought on by wrestling fans like myself and like nephew Corey. We are here as Belt Kings, as title lovers, as wrestling aficionados to talk what we love to talk the most and love what we like to, as we say, garner the most. And that is professional wrestling titles. And today on Belt Kings Radio Champions, we start off with the probably arguably, Corey, the number one title that's loved by fans, Big Gold. Again, my name is Mike Knox. You can find me at Mike Knox, that's spelt with three X's, simply because the titles I have, I am hardcore. And Corey, where can they find you at, my friend?
I am everywhere on all social media platforms at My Kicks Are My Fix. MyKicksAreMyFix.
So maybe you should like throw a hyphen in there and say My Kicks and My Titles Are My Fix, because I'm not sure which one is a bigger fix with you right now. But
it's crazy, right?
It's nuts. It is honestly and truly a pleasure to have you here with me, Corey, on this program. I have been wanting to do something with you for a while. I knew that I had to come to you with something unique. And I feel that right here we have something that is unique enough and is important enough to wrestling fans out there, and that's called titles. I came together with a bunch of other brothers and we formed a group called Belt Kings. It's just me, guys. I got to say it. I talked before early about it. We all can be Belt Kings. I don't care who you are, where you're from, Indonesia, even if you got the COVID-19, we're just going to have you isolated, okay? But you got to have five belts to be part of the Belt Kings, all right? You can't have one belt, two belts. And I'm not knocking that. We love that. We all started somewhere. But now we
got to start somewhere. You got to have it.
You got to have at least one. Everybody has at least one by now if you're a wrestling fan. So,
here's something I want to throw out there too, Mike, is that, you know what? The other thing I want to throw out as far as with belt collecting, in which a lot of people, maybe turn their nose upside down. Everybody has their own way of how they collect belts. And one of the things that's out there are the commemorative titles. And I get this question a lot. And a lot of people are like, oh, do you buy them? Me personally, I don't get them because I was already collecting the other kind.
Okay.
However, I know people who have serious commemorative belt collections out there. And the commemorative belts are very good quality. And it's to where if you don't know and you're looking at somebody at an event or something, somebody's walking by, don't know it's a commemorative. So they tell you. You really don't. So I always say, because I get that question a lot, and people are like, oh, if you want to hold off and spend a little bit more money and get a replica, that's totally fine. But if you got the money to get a commemorative and you want to just have the belt in the collection, get the commemorative. It's totally fine.
I'm glad you touched on that, because in this little society we call Belt Kings, I don't care what it is. I haven't had one. I'm like you, Corey, because I just didn't come across in getting one. Honestly, when I was looking for it at that price, if I could have, I probably would have. I just didn't get a chance to get those belts. When I started collecting mine back in 02, 01, there was AJS belts. You had Wrestling Superstore.
Wrestling Superstore Figures Incorporated was that was the place.
That's where you went. Yeah. So they didn't have those belts back then. And I remember looking at those all the time in the back of the magazine saying, how come nobody ever has these? Hey, babe, can I get one of these? You got to ask your girl at that time, can I get one of these belts? How much they cost? But my point is, I don't care if you have, because remember, I had what I used to call, in honor of Ghostface Killer, my Wonder Woman arm. I had Big Goldie on my belt, on my arm plate. And they have those now, though. Those have become just as big.
Those have blown up.
Crazy. Big time. Like. So even if you have five of those, you're a belt king, okay? Yes. Just wanted to have five to be on this list. That's all. You want to be a king? You can be a belt queen. That's okay. You got to have
five. Some belt queens out there.
Out there. We know you exist. So shout out to everybody out there that's collecting wrestling belts, that love wrestling belts, that Title Tuesday that's going on also right now. Whoever you are, we welcome you. This is for you. We're going to talk about today's title, which is Big Goldie. First, before we get into the semantics of it and it's where it came from, Corey, I believe it started back, originally designed in 1985 by Silver Silversmith and Charles I can't pronounce the last. Is it Kurumin?
I think it's Kurumin, because Kurumin? That's one of the nicknames that they give certain versions of it.
Okay.
Kurumin, Big Gold.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. created in 1985, brought to end by the Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA mm-hmm. World Championship Wrestling, where I will say I got my start there because Dusty Rhodes mm-hmm. is my earliest memory of what right. I loved before I got right. into the Say Your Prayers and Eat Your Vitamins Hulk Hogan. I was there. I'm just being honest. I had the
yeah, absolutely. And all of it. Absolutely.
So, before I got into that, but I remember, you know, this is a little grittier than what WWE was, and you're watching this yeah. title, and you're just like, yo, that just looks amazing. At the yes. time for me, around Ric Flair's waist. When you think mm-hmm. of that title, and then you look at how we have the today's show, and it will be available also on YouTube, on Facebook, mm-hmm. on iTunes, wherever podcasts are sold, it will be there. You know where they are. Just Google Belt Kings. So on the plaster, on the play, you said I got Ric Flair there. I got that champ because that's what mm-hmm. I believe most people are synonymous with Big Goldie Championship, Corey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, and I'll go ahead since I am here today for the first show.
All right. You're pulling it out. You're pulling out Big Goldie.
Go ahead and pull out Big Goldie.
Look at that, Crash.
Here it is.
Oh, with the red background. See, so you yeah. have, if I'm not mistaken, the NWA version, the WCW version.
Because what this is actually, shout out to FanDu. This is a FanDu.
Okay.
This is a FanDu belts version. But what I did, because you can kind of get decide which version you want to get.
Okay.
Did the original mold of it, in the sense of I did the dual plating with the silver background, and because that's what I remember as a kid with Ric Flair having the dual plate, and you know, looking at belts and appreciating belts later on down the line, the dual plating was the original version. The only thing I didn't do was put the brown leather on it,
okay.
which that's kind of in my mind later on to do it.
That yeah, is that original, that little brown, that little doo-doo brown leather they had on it.
Yeah, but that's the OG,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you yeah, yeah.
That, right? That's the, that if anybody thinks of that belt and you're 30 plus, you think of that brown leather, mm-hmm. Big Gold. And it's so funny, you touched on the Big Gold earlier as probably the most popular or noticeable belt.
I think it is.
I think I was going to say I 100% agree, because that's the belt that I would think cross cultures as far as wrestling fans, mm-hmm. non-wrestling fans, mm-hmm. you saw hip hop videos. Mm-hmm. You saw that belt, to me, and I'm being biased as a wrestling fan, it's the most popular belt I think ever in sports that deal with championship belts.
Okay.
That's the most popular one.
That's more than a WBC heavyweight title, yep. which is at one point the greatest heavyweight boxing title, you know, with mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali,
yep.
recently friend of the program, Deontay Wilder. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to agree with you. And you don't have to apologize for being biased. You're a wrestling fan. We're all biased, yep. okay? We all have right. our – I always think one of the biggest and dumb arguments in this world is Apple versus Android, DC versus mm-hmm. Marvel. It's all for all of us. Why can't we like it all? You know what I mean?
Right, and absolutely.
And going back to this title did show all those things, Corey, growing up as a kid, watching Flair have it. Seen, like you said, having mm-hmm. it cross over with, you know, I'm a young kid, grew up in Chicago and outside of Philadelphia as well, Derby, Pennsylvania, shout out to Dodge City. And those guys in the corner who didn't like wrestling knew Ric Flair. They knew yep. that title because it was so, the way it stood out, how big it is. Other thoughts absolutely. Of this belt, as far as you say, like we said, we are collectors of titles. So we are going to not mm-hmm. just talk about the champions and who had it and biggest and best matches mm-hmm. with those guys and guys who maybe shouldn't have had it, Courtney Cox's husband, and the craftsmanship. Because when you do look at this title, it is absolutely a work of art, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, and it's good that you touched on that, because there were different versions throughout the years. If you were looking, if you followed mm-hmm. you know, appreciated belts, you notice that belt went from dual plating with the silver background and the gold front to all gold, mm-hmm. and you know, different versions of it. You know, even the kind of mid or late 90s WCW with the big gold, and it had the bend in the top of it, you
yes.
know. You remember stuff like that, and you remember the tail end of WCW, the belt. If you've seen that belt all your life like we did, you notice it looked a shade smaller.
A lot smaller.
On the tail end of WCW, and when it went over to WWF, It looked like that was a small just not by much, but if you know belts, it looked like a smaller version of that championship. And, you know, just the appreciation of the etchings. And even once WWE got that championship and they remodeled it and put the WWE logo on it, there were even different versions of that.
Yeah.
Almost like, I think of the one, the version I believe Christian had after he won from Alberto Del Rio and, or not Alberto, he won in the ladder match. For the vacant championship.
Yes, right. After Edge had left and vacated, right.
Yeah, and on to Randy Orton. That was the debut, I believe, the debut of the Red Croc back.
Okay.
That had Crocodile back into it.
Okay.
And in front of that belt, it was almost like gold plating on gold plating. That belt was probably the best one of the big gold that WWE ever made. Because that the detailing and the gold plating on that was not of anything they ever had. So it looked really, really good.
Now, and touching on that and something that we also spoke about previously coming on air, when I think of this title, okay, I don't think of Randy Orton. I don't think of The Rock having this belt. I don't think about King Booker having this title. I remember a guy whose name was G.I. Bro. Okay, that Booker T having that title. I remember, and you see, we had a little slideshow going Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the Great Muda, Barry Windham, Sting, both versions of Sting having this title. You know, Hogan having his belt for what it's worth. DDP bringing that belt actually probably back to its popularity. I don't think people give DDP credit for where he was at that time with that belt. And just to go ahead and also state something, just to go back a little bit, and having the titles we have, we call ourselves Belt Kings because we collect a bunch of them, okay? When I say more than five is what I mean when I say this. So I think we're in good character and in honestly giving you our opinions about how these belts are made, why we think of them, and why we have them. So let me ask you this question, Corey. In your realm and your number of titles, not giving a disclosed number out exactly, okay? I'll tell you roughly right now, I have about 15, 16. That's me. That's my max. I maxed out there. Big Goldie, for me, was not in my top stick by early on because they were, at that time, WCW was still in business. I was a fan of choosing sides, although I say why we choose sides is all for us. It's fans make me choose. I didn't want to choose. I always loved them, but I had to stick my flag in the sand, okay? I'm the dummy who went to WrestleMania 28 and was cheering for John Cena over The Rock, okay? Let's not relive that embarrassment moment, all right? Okay? So, but I'm a fan nevertheless. So where did this belt rank for you in your title collection, and where would you put it? About what number did you get? For me, I gotta say it was probably about my seventh, maybe my fifth title. And when I got it, I'll be honest with you guys, I defaced it. I apologize for defacing it. To this day, I don't have another copy of this title. I want another copy of this title. If you look at the one on my back wall, it is literally spray painted from Kevin Nash himself. Okay, I met Kevin Nash. I ran across the street to 7-Eleven, and he looked at me like I was crazy, and I had him spray painted. Okay, and that's literally what I wanted, and that's what I wanted. And I, as a wrestling fan, as a wrestling title purist, as I like to call myself, self-proclaimed Belt Kings, I apologize for not having that title, Corey. Where does it stand for you?
It's up there. I have to say it's probably fifth for me. I mean, me growing up, you didn't choose sides, but you chose sides.
Right.
And I was a guy as a kid.
Okay.
And so that belt, honestly, is probably behind. Actually, I'll say fourth. Okay. Just because.
Where was your uncle at in that when you were choosing sides?
He probably was on the other side because even though now he's more of the old school NWA.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So. But for me, honestly, the classic three of the WWF, your Winged Eagle, your classic IC, and your classic tag team, those in that order, those were my top three.
Okay, so this goes to you for number four. No, I don't even know where to even begin, because if I be honest, we're probably going to be sitting here when I say when I say like six or seven, there's no disrespect. This is no disrespect towards the title, what it means, because I love this belt. But when it comes to the craftsmanship, for me, One of my favorite titles of all time, and I'm going to be short here, is just the Arn Anderson TV title. It was the only title on television in any promotion. I grew up with UWF. I grew up with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I grew up with AWA. It used to come on ESPN after I got out of school at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Come on ESPN. I grew up with NWA. I know all that stuff, okay, guys? I don't want people to say, oh, no, no, no. And for me, that belt was the only one that had color. The only one that had color. The leather. Yeah. There was something about that leather, red leather, and silver plates. I loved it.
It's funny you mentioned that because I always thought of myself as being quirky for this.
Okay.
The United States Tag Team Championships were always my favorite.
They were. But no, I haven't even seen nobody with that title, Corey.
You do every once in a while. You see somebody with a nice one, but it's very rare you run into somebody with that.
Those were decent titles also back then. Again, titles that we're going to talk about and we have to think about even going to purchase now at this point. But let's get into Big Cody and some of the champions that Big Cody has had. Of course, more synonymous with Ric Flair having this belt. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites, you see the slideshow up there now. I will never forget the cage match between Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
For this title, Great American Bash. Help me out.
It's got to be.
Was here.
It's got to be maybe 85.
86.
Well, 88 was a little late. It had to be before then. You're probably going 85, 86, maybe. If you're going that far back with Dusty.
Yeah. I'm thinking 86. I'm thinking it's 86.
Probably. Might have been 86.
Great American Bash 86. Yep, right here. No, I'm wrong. 1985.
85. Okay, I was saying 85, 86. Yeah, it had to be somewhere back there.
He got the same year Flair got it the first time, and he won it from Ric Flair in that cage match. And I remember for me after that, because I grew up being a Ric Flair hater, okay? I think it's very cool.
As you should have been.
For people to love Flair and all this stuff. But I remember you guys, Wrestling Marks of Excellence, over there on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Fox Sports Radio, how we all guys came together like the Mega Powers Unite over titles. I remember having that conversation and saying, that belt at that time was ridiculous. And the titles that came around, Corey. But I remember this so well because Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah, Ronnie Garvin. Yep. Okay. And now I think what Starrcade 87, I believe he fought Flair for the championship.
87.
Yeah.
87.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I look at Ronnie Garvin. One of the reasons why I'm a big Orton fan, because to me the Orton stump came from the Garvin stump, and Ronnie Garvin still does it better the way he went around the whole body from toe to ankle to shat to calf to knee to thigh all the way around the other side. Okay, it was Ronnie Garvin. People got to look up Ronnie Garvin. Not enough credit. To one of my favorites, and my top 10 personal favorites, Barry Windham having this belt.
Yeah.
Also in my top 10, personal top 10, not, you know, people got to understand, who you think's the best of all time versus who's your favorite of all time. They're two different lists. Okay?
Yeah.
Randall Cunningham's my favorite quarterback of all time, but I don't think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Okay?
No.
So, Great Muda having this title. Some of my favorites of all time had this championship.
And it's funny, the people you mentioned,
I was happy. Anybody who beat Flair,
the people you mentioned, though, that's what's funny. The people you mentioned was during that dark, not dark period, but kind of that lost period when Flair took the belt to WWF and NWA got it back. Because a lot of the champions people forget about, because NWA wasn't really on the map like that with the separation from WCW at the time.
Right.
All of those champions between the time Flair was gone, pretty much between 91 and 93 when he came back, and even 94, it was when the Big Gold kind of really started getting back on television. You were kind of like, okay, because you forget about Rude having it, you forget about Buddha, Wyndham, you know, like all of these people
Ricky Martin, not Ricky Martin, Ricky Morton.
And it's like you forget about all of this, and then you got to go back. And that's why we, you know, all these people now, maybe I would say maybe probably really 25 and under can really appreciate having the network and stuff like that now, because you can find a lot of this stuff, a lot of this lost stuff that, you know, we had to tape trade, DVD box, like all of this stuff. Like people really don't understand how
mad we made our research moms stuff. And taping over there. So I taped over my mother's week-long episode of Santa Barbara to put Raw on, and I heard an earful from that. I really did, but I want to go back because I did lose my train of thought. I'm gonna catch myself for that and call myself up for that. Well, about we were talking about hating Flair growing up as a kid, mm-hmm. hating guys like Flair. And again, yep. When I met you guys, friend of the program, Tully Blanchard, we all interviewed. I remember interviewing Tully, and Tully saying you were supposed to hate us, and
yep.
that they never really respected fans that would say to them, "Oh, I love the Four Horsemen," because he didn't want to be loved. They didn't want to be loved. And I remember listening to one of your episodes last week, and I loved it because Godfather brought it up and brought up how real it was to us, and watching them chase mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes down in the camera, jump him. Like, this title was everything to this federation, a little bit more than what it was for what was going on in WWE with Hogan and those guys. This mm-hmm. belt felt like, oh, these guys are really fighting over to be the best. And I hated Flair so much. I was always I was such a face guy growing up. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm still kind of a face guy, if it means anything to you. You know what I mean? I do like my heels. I got respect mm-hmm. what they bring, you know what I mean? But I love a good face. That's why I guess I'm just a sucker for the good guy. I mean, look, come on, Captain America, Spider-Man, Superman. Those are my favorite three superheroes. Come on, it tells you right there what's on my mind. But some of your earliest memories, some of your best champions that had this title.
Easily Sting, number one, probably.
Which
for
version?
Me. Yeah. Oh, the pre-Crow.
See? Oh.
Definitely Bravo. Surfer Sting. That's what I grew, on. Is yes. Thank you. Yes. Surfer Sting is what I grew up on. And he was the guy. Like, because people, once again, like you said earlier, because of that, you know, because of that choosing side, you know, naturally or just unnaturally, like the choosing sides, Sting didn't get a lot of credit for how big he was in the 90s. Like, between 89 and like 92. Realistically, he was right up there. Mm-hmm. People about that. And Sting was easily one of the first people I think of having that belt. Ricky Steamboat's another, because I remember him being in WWE, even as a kid. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's in the NWA now. Yeah.
I never understood that going up, honestly. Like, now we're like, right. I was,
you
like,
get it,
oh,
now.
Oh, okay, he's over there now. Like, he was back and forth so much with him and Rick Rude, I couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it was, and Rude's another one, which he, like I said, because of that period where the belt was over in WWF and they were trying to get it back,
right?
Get Rude being the and this is a blast from past, the WCW International World. That, I mean, they couldn't even call it the NWA Championship. The NWA had brought back the Dome, which we'll talk about another time, the Globe belt.
Ron Simmons.
Yeah, and what's funny is that you think about all these guys and you think and start thinking, these were the forgotten champions. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Sting, Ricky Steamboat, Rick Rude. You start thinking of it later. Somebody else who's synonymous with it that I think of for the later WCW is Jeff Jarrett, is another one.
Oh, slap nuts, if you will.
Yep. Who, honestly, he had a pretty good heel run as a heel champion for that era. Him and Scott Steiner did really well at that time for a lost period of WCW.
I personally would agree with that. In those last few years of WCW, I think the Big Papa Pumps, the Jeff Jarretts, the Booker T's of the world, I thought they carried that title on very well. Sting getting it back in there a few times, because we got to understand we're at the end of WCW, Clores, where the NWO had came in, what the gimmick was said it was, it actually came true, and they tore down this company from within inside of itself. And one of the most things that stick out to wrestling fans that bothered me around this title was the finger poke of doom. And when I was going through to make a slideshow to have for our show, you can see it there. I purposely put in Hogan. I purposely put in Kevin Nash for a reason. Because that was a very down period right there. Like, fans today, if you can think of anything they have pooped on, repeatedly. Mm-hmm. They hate Roman. They hate Cena. If social media was then what it is now, I don't know if those guys could have overcome that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
How did you feel as a kid, as a teenager, if you were in that time? I apologize for not knowing. I know I was grown, but I was a young man. Like, to me, I'd be 45. To me, I don't think I was a grown man until I was 30-something. So, whatever
the case may be. Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school at that time. So, that was, to see that happen, it was kind of like, was that it? That was the first thing I said. I was like, was that it? Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like, okay, WWE, I'm so used to saying WWE now. WWF at that time must have really been doing something right, because in between, and it was so funny, like Austin was in the title picture, but he wasn't. So between Rock, Mankind, Austin, like it was more entertaining, and you had meaningful matches with their championship than the thing of Broke of Doom really kind of made it like, ugh. And it's funny because even a couple weeks back, I went to that Starcade, and when I remember, no voice, first of all, done. Voice was trash by then. I remember seeing Scott Hall running. I'm like, that's Scott Hall. And then I saw the tapes. I was like, oh, Goldberg lost it like that. And I was rooting for Kevin Nash at that time.
And I'm sorry, it was 1986 Great American Bash when
WWE it was 86.
It was 86 Great American Bash. Yep.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
But I was like, because I thought I wanted Nash to win, but I wanted him to actually win it. Mm-hmm. Like, Goldberg straight up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but I get it now, older. I get it now to progress the story. They had to do something like that because you couldn't kill Goldberg off like that. No. But I was like, oh man, I wanted Nash to win that way. But then as it materialized, the first thing I said, like I said, I was like, oh, that was it. Because I wanted Kevin Nash to have a real run with the belt. Yeah. And just to give it back to Hogan in that manner.
Yeah.
You were kind of like, all right.
Do you feel that it did any way, all right, and we're talking about it years later, okay? Mm-hmm. So we had a chance to evolve and think. Did any way that it, did you feel that it disrespected the title? Because.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I'm going to say no. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to say no because, again, I'm talking years later, not what I felt then. Then, absolutely. What are you doing? It's the Precious Championship. Guys have fought years over this thing. What are you doing? In retrospect, and I'm just being honest here, guys. It's wrestling. Nothing surprises me in wrestling. Absolutely. And I always tell people, you know, and we're African-American, and people think that because we're black wrestling fans that we should think a black certain kind of way. No, I think a wrestling way, if that makes any sense. It's not me being not for my culture, or I'm not for my culture. But if you understand professional wrestling, it's to understand that wrestling has made fun of every race, color, creed, gender. It doesn't. I mean, somebody had sex with a dead corpse, right? So, I mean, there is no boundaries here, okay? So, to me, I look at it now, like, for the power of what they were and for what they were trying to sell it, we came as NWO, forget you, Hogan, forget you, Hogan back. And they're like, yeah, you still the man. Here you go. It's kind of funny now that I think about it, actually.
Yeah.
That they actually beat him with a fist. Like, and because they got up off the mat and hugged and made fun of it. Like, hey, it's your belt. I don't want it. Like, so to me, I'm kind of like, looking at it now, I don't think the finger poke of doom was such a bad, you know, storyline.
Well, I'll put it this way. We're going to disagree because I think it was terrible.
That's fine.
But that's okay, though. It's okay. I think more so, I think even to touch on that, I think the aftermath of it as far as the confusing who was in which NWO, that's part of why it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, too. Because then you didn't know who was in which NWO or where. It was still two different ones because you had the combination of Hogan and Nash and all the originals, and then some of the other new ones were together. Then you had, all of a sudden, you had Brian Adams and Stevie Ray and Vincent pick up the other scraps of whatever was left of the old colors. And it was just like, what? You didn't know what was going on. So that left a bad taste in my mouth, too.
Now, let's do this before we talk about the belt and how it's designed. You pull that beautiful beam footage back out. Mount Rushmore of the NWA Big Goldie champions. Now, that narrows that list now, okay? And I was thinking about this, and I always like there's some things I talk before, Aaron, some things I wait on purpose so I can get your honest feeling about it. I love that thing. And I just wrote it down as you were talking because I made sure I didn't think about it either until now again. I keep it notes this time around. This is a different show, guys. I don't know if you know that right now. But your Mount Rushmore of this title, and I have to tell you the truth, Corey, I find it incredibly difficult to give Big Goldie NWA / WCW version of this belt. So it's obviously Ric Flair, okay?
Dusty Rhodes, Sting.
This is where I say it kind of gets hard because it's only four.
Are you
putting Goldberg for me? I got to put who I said earlier, friend of program. I got to go DDP, the people's champ first. I hate to say it, people, but he was calling himself that first. The Rock said, hold up, what? Oh, no. Let me go ahead and take that from you and show you how to do it properly. Okay, and which he just ran with it. Just like giving Walter Payton the football behind Walter Payton. It's going to be a touchdown. But I'm going Flair, Dusty, Sting, DDP. Sorry, Goldberg. I'm sorry. That's my most memorable people with that championship.
My fourth, if I'm going to have to say a fourth just off of just people having it and remembering people and I'm going Rick Rude.
You're going Rick Rude. Okay. He had a heck of a run with this title. Yeah. For what it's worth, big Rick Rude fan. Love Rick Rude. And that's a memory for you that it has to stick there because that's a memory that sticks out for you as a child. Rick Rude having that title, how you felt his title run was with that though?
Here's the thing. He was pretty much, that was one of the few times you had a top heel with the championship that actually was like, okay, this is the top guy right now over in WCW. You had Sting, but you had Rick Rude also, and matches were so good that you were kind of like, okay, this is if anybody you believed, looking back at it later, that Dag Sting couldn't beat him or Sting wrestled him, yeah, it made sense. Rick Rude's the one I'm going. If I had to go a fourth, it's close because I was going to say either Goldberg or I was going to say Ricky Steamboat.
Okay. That's where I felt a part of me felt I was supposed to go there, and I'm looking at – I remember him going with it because I always tell people I get mad when wrestling fans go, oh, I'm so tired of watching this match. Oh, my God, Orton and Sting – Orton and Cena again. I saw Ric Flair and Steamboat forever.
Yeah.
Forever. I saw Ric Flair and Sting forever. So it's just what it is sometimes. I get today we're watching it more, but – every time I turned on the TV, it was Flair versus one of these guys. So, him having that title during that time, this is what we're talking about, 86 he got the belt, 87 he got it over there. How did that feel for you, him coming from WWF at that time and then coming there and winning that belt?
Well, remember, he had been gone for a while, so you kind of forgot about him. Because he had been gone for a little bit from WWF. I want to say he was gone maybe October of 90 or something like that. Maybe September, October of 1990. And he didn't come until well into 91 into WCW. And at that time, with such limited television programming back then.
Shit, how about that?
Like forever, you know? How about that? So Rude coming over and then Rude being portrayed as such a big deal. That's what I think helped. They never brought Rude in as just like, he's just a guy. Or like, Rude only was competing for the United States or heavyweight championship. And he wasn't even for the TV title. He wasn't just in feuds. Like, all of his feuds were championship feuds, pretty much.
They were. They were. And I don't care what federation he was in. Besides the – I'm trying to think about the one with him and – Jake, I think the Intercontinental title was involved in that. If I'm not correct,
him and no, he wasn't Intercontinental champion.
Okay. Him and Jake. Okay, right, so that might be the only rivalry that wasn't a title somewhere in there with Ravishing Rick Rude. May he rest in peace. By the way,
yeah.
Now, again, each week, guys, I want to break down to you champions, okay? And we're going to talk about mm-hmm. the belts, and we talked about that now. We talked about some of the best and worst guys to have that belt or Mount Rushmore of that title. Now, Corey, if you don't mind, bring mm-hmm. out that belt again for us, please, so people at home can see it, how beautiful this thing is. And, excuse me, look at this thing. It's just shining, 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 shining. Yeah, all of this winning. Now, and the craftsmanship of belts, because you recently yeah. just picked up another belt, and we'll talk about that at a later time. I don't want to spoil anything for people out there as he drapes that beautiful Bing footage around his shoulder. How do you feel about this title again? Like I say, people who don't know, I'm letting them know. I'm the belt king, god dang it, okay? He is the belt emperor, okay? I may run a circle. It's like people fighting over to know who's the queen in the north, who's the king in the north. That's just the north. But there's the rest of the world that existed, people. There's the south, the east, and everything else, okay? I got my little quadrant, okay? But this man is dripping with it. So looking at, and I'm talking with him because mine are on my wall. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go pull it down because, like I said,
it's fine.
I defaced it. I spray painted. It's okay.
That's
how I felt at that time. I was so angry at NWA. I was like, forget it. I loved it, right? But looking at this title, how do you feel about how it's mm-hmm. made? And again, this was made by the creators of Sam Silverman.
And Charles Crumon, I believe. Right. Here's the thing with that belt. It to the average person, you would think, oh, big and gaudy mm-hmm. belt. To me, it always meant that was the world heavyweight champion. And a belt designed like that, with that big centerpiece like that, it meant world heavyweight champion to me. And that's ultimately why, I mean, growing up in DC and in this area, like pretty much you were territorially, you were WWF. So you had that thing in your mind of you saw Hogan, especially me, you know, born in 84, like I grew up on Hogan. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a Hogan fan, but I grew up on Hogan. So I always saw the Winged Eagle Championship. But as an appreciation that, you know, later on down the line, older now, you think of world champion in wrestling, big gold's the first belt you think of. I'm sorry, that's me. I hear world champion mm-hmm. talk about wrestling, I think big gold. I do.
When you look at this title, I'm looking at it right now, the screenshot that mm-hmm. on the screen right now had it very plastered up there with the logos we have mm-hmm. up there as well. And it looks like somebody took... Again, I born in 75, okay? And I mm-hmm. and so growing up in the 80s, it was like the whole Fort Knox thing was big, right? Yep. So to me, when you saw this belt, it was like somebody went to Fort Knox, got mm-hmm. a hammer, and just started wailing to make a belt. Like, pow, pow. They just put the globe on there. And it's like, like you said, there was the... At this time, Winged Eagle wasn't there at this point in WWE. So mm-mm. this was the prettiest title. And again, I'll go back a little bit. And that's when I get that. I wrote it down. I missed them calling championships what they were. The Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I missed mm-hmm. that. I wish they bring those back. Because when Ric Flair was announced for this title, Corey, it was the mm-hmm. world's. And he went around the world. That's another thing about this belt that stands out, okay? And while mm-hmm. we chose for number one, this was the only belt that you would see at every promotion other than WWE.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Other than WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it. I grew up being the WWF. I still have a hard time calling it WWE. It just doesn't sound right. I understand it. But this is the belt that you saw at AWA. Okay. Mm-hmm. I saw this belt in UWF. I've seen this belt in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But yeah, people, New Japan Pro Wrestling is not new. They have been around for years. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Masahiro Chono, the Great Muda. A Houston Thunder Lager.
Chono is another guy with the big gold.
Yeah, he did. He did have that title.
Yes, he did.
this belt is synonymous with champions. And you look, it's roughly about what, Corey, about 75, 65 pounds, you think?
As far as what?
The weight of this title.
Oh, no. That belt is probably about a good 8 or 9 pounds.
Good 8 or 9 pounds? Okay.
That's the replicas of it.
That's not the 10 pounds of gold, which we'll talk about that one day as well, which I know that's your uncle's favorite title. Yeah. I know mm-hmm. that's his favorite belt is the 10 pounds of gold, former NWA original heavyweight championship.
Yep.
Harley Race, those kind of guys. But final thoughts on this title, Corey. Personally, I love this belt. It's not in my list of belts I went after first, but when I see it, I love it. I just love everything about this title and what it represents, Corey.
This belt is the quintessential definition of championship belt. When people who don't watch wrestling, you talk about wrestling. If you were to line up people right now who don't watch and to ask them, or you put the put that belt in front of it without the letters, they would say this has to be their best belt, or this has to be their main belt. It is the World Heavyweight Championship, period. It's, and I like the way it says it on the belt too, World Heavyweight Wrestling Champion. That's the championship, and that's I give you full applause and credit, everything, for picking this as the first belt that we talked about, because that is what I think of when I think World Championship. That's the one. We know years down the line, we got the nice designs and the '80s, but that belt was straight to the point. Yeah. That is World Heavyweight Championship, period. And it looked like it.
It looked like it. It showed it. They treated it like it.
I'm glad you said that. You had to treat it like it was the world. And that was I think that's one of the main differences between, at that time, what NWA was doing and what WWF was doing. And rightfully so, because WWF was sports entertainment. Hogan was the champion, but Hogan was a larger than life character.
Right.
You mentioned earlier when Dusty was getting jumped by the Horsemen, and the Horsemen were doing everything to any opponent that was even coming close to Flair. It felt like they are protecting the world champion. It was, and that belt symbolized it. You're absolutely right.
I think it's missing in wrestling. I think AEW is trying to make that a topic of priority in their product and making the championships mean something, because we know what this has become. We know where it started. We started buying titles and belts because we were just fans and we're just amazed we could get our hands on them. And now it's like, and to become honest with you guys, it's become an epidemic. I don't have as many as people out there that have. It's just what it is. But we started collecting. Like I love you brought up earlier. I always tell people say, "Oh, you got all these belts. You spend all this money on these belts. How many pair of Jordans you got? How many TVs you got in your house? How many video games did you have? How many times have you switched your phone this year when a new phone comes out every 6 months?" Right? Whatever is your hobby, whatever your vice is your vice. My vice was just, I was a wrestling fan. I wanted to show that I love belts. And this is a belt that always makes me say champion. It's the quintessential number one title. Matter of fact, we had just dubbed it Belt King, and Belt Emperor has just named Big Goldie the number one championship in professional wrestling history. Listen, guys, we will be here before you guys every week, giving you the ins and outs of what we call Belt King's Radio Presents Champions. You want to get a belt involved, want to talk about a certain title that you're interested in us talking about, comment below. Like my friend Jeremy Johns would say, let us know. Again, you can find this show available on YouTube, Facebook.com, also wherever podcasts are sold. My name is Mike Knox. Wherever social media is found with three X's, that's Nephew Corey at My Kicks Is My Fix, just like it sounds, guy.
My Kicks Are My Fix.
My Kicks Are My Fix. I'm glad you stepped in there and everybody with a blind taxi. Hot tag! We're winning here, people. We are winning. We are going to get out of here, guys. We will see you guys next week, and thank you for joining Belt Kings Radio Champions. Everybody's got a fight.